Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are officially on the couch here on LA Talk Radio, as you always are, Fridays, live, 11 Pacific Standard Time, here in beautiful downtown Los Angeles. Welcome, everybody. And as usual, one of the best shows today, because you're going to get a lot of inspiration from a gentleman who has written so many books, and I will tell you more about his accolades in just a little bit, but actually, we're talking about making right decisions and also practical advice from 23 men and women who have shaped the world, visionaries. And this is the information you're going to get today from my special guest as he talks about his latest book. You know, it seems that so many of us these days are trying to figure out where we want to go in our professional and our personal lives. I hear this all the time in my work. As well as we're all trying to discover the best ways to approach and resolve a lot of these questions. So, you know, God, there's so many options and opportunities out there. Really is. But it also seems that a lot of chaos and confusion about finding the best approaches to help us succeed is also going on. And, of course, the decisions that we ultimately make can affect our lives and, of course, the lives of others. And the good news is that my special guest today is going to inspire you to find resolve in your lives and create more patience and use practical thinking. You've heard about him before. You've seen a lot of his books. You probably know about him and his company. He's such a major influencer. He is Robert Dillenschneider, and he's going to be talking about his latest book, Decisions, Practical Advice from 23 Men and Women Who Shaped the World. So it's really an empowering book. I think you all will enjoy it. So you can find out more about how to get his book if you go on to my website here on LA Talk Radio. And what Robert does in this book is he's sharing the wisdom, choices, advice given by 23 visionaries, scientists, economists, inventors, entrepreneurs, activists, commanders of war and peace, and on and on. So Robert has been called the Dean of American Public Relations Executives. He's widely published, having authored over 12 books, including the best-selling A Briefing for Leaders on Power. You know, he has so many books out there. And again, we'll tell you how you can get on his website, find out more about him and his organization, the Dillenschneider Group, which has a philosophy to bring to clients a level of communications, counsel, and creativity, and an exposure to contacts, networks, and relationships that are usually not available anywhere else in the world. So, folks, if you want to upgrade your daily decisions with the wisdom of just about two dozen renowned influencers, we're talking about it right now. Robert, welcome to the couch here with Dr. Michelle. How are you?
It was great to be on the show.
Hey, it's great to have you.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Thank you for those comments.
Oh, you're welcome.
The listeners to your show make about 35,000
wow.
decisions every day.
Wow, that's right.
35,000.
That's
right. And there are probably one or two that are really critical
yes.
to their lives.
Right. That's exactly right. That's amazing. We make that many decisions. Do we actually decide, or do we think about it and not make decisions?
most people do things almost automatically.
Yeah.
And that's because they've done them for years and years and years.
Yes.
But sometimes They can't do it automatically.
Yeah.
And they have to come to a conclusion.
Yes.
And that means they have to think about it.
Yeah, exactly.
And that causes enormous anxiety.
Well, yes, absolutely it does. And your book's going to help them. That's what I found out. You know, after reading it, I would say, for me, because I'm a psychologist, that your book is definitely self-help for life's wisdom, and it's a historical guide. But how would you describe your book, Robert?
I would think these are great men and women.
Yeah.
Who have recognized a need and who have applied their best thinking to that need.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, all of them sit in their room somewhere.
Yeah.
Having taken plenty of advice, have to come to a decision.
Right.
And they alone have to make it.
Yes.
Harry Truman needed to make the decision to drop the atom bomb.
Mm-hmm.
And Caesar needed to make the decision to cross the Rubicon.
Yes.
Abraham Lincoln needed to make the decision to emancipate the slaves.
Mm.
Those decisions, none of them easy, all came to these men and women.
Yes.
And they made a tremendous difference.
Oh,
Louis Pasteur.
Yeah.
Needed to make the decision to keep on with his efforts to find a proper solution.
Yes.
Madame Curie, same thing.
Mm.
So it's extraordinary what people do. Some people.
Yes.
Having made decisions and are very close to victory.
Yes.
Very close to something really, really unique.
Right.
Stop. That's a mistake.
Yes. So why is that a mistake?
Because oftentimes when you've made a decision.
Yeah.
And you're hitting the right button time and again, and you don't quite have the solution, if you stop because you're tired, because you don't want to take the risk, and you want to step away from success, well, you don't get success.
Right.
And that's a tremendous loss.
Boy, is that ever.
You right, got... now, right now, in the White House,
yeah,
Donald Trump is making decisions every single day.
Yeah.
He generally doesn't stop. He keeps on going.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, the country is in pretty good shape,
mm-hmm.
for the most part. Under a different president, that could change.
Mm. Well, it's interesting, you know, when we bring the political aspect of what's going on today into, you know, the content of your book, it's about making critical decisions. And I hear what you're saying. I really do. But I wanted to just sort of let the listeners know, by the way, if you have any questions or comments, you can sure email me here at straighttalkdoc@gmail.com right here at the radio station as we're live. And if you missed any part of this show or have to rerun, replay, download, whatever you want to do, you can do so. All my shows are available on iTunes podcasts, On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, and also in the archives on my webpage here on LA Talk Radio. So, just to let folks know here, you divided your book, Decisions, Practical Advice from 23 Men and Women Who Shaped the World, into four different parts. And as you mentioned, Harry Truman and Henry Ford and Marie Curie, you mentioned all these people. They're all, you know, world visionary leaders, changed the world. So the sections are war and peace, on commerce and invention, on science, and also those, of course, who broke boundaries and made amazing changes in our world. So, you know,
I never met these million women.
Yes.
I never met them, but
well,
I do know what I think made them tick.
Yes.
I think they looked at the situation around them.
Yes.
And they said, it could be better. It could be made more fair.
Right.
It can have opportunity. And I think that's why Abraham Lincoln emancipated the slaves.
Yes.
I think that's why Truman dropped the bomb.
Right.
I think that's why Martin Luther freed people from the strictures of a Catholic faith.
Right.
I think those were all big decisions.
Yes. Huge. And brilliant decisions. Now, in your first, you know, chapter here on war and peace, you talk about how we can learn from President Harry Truman's situation back in 1945 And you mention in your book that even though we as individuals may feel alone in certain decisions in our lives, that we are not. So what do you mean by that? And how can we call upon others when we want to make the correct decision in our lives about doing things, whether they be what to do in a war situation or our next move in our career?
Truman had to sit, is what I have to say.
Yeah.
With a major issue in hand, and he had to make a decision what to do about the issue. What were the upsides? What were the downsides?
Right.
He had to weigh them. He had to get advice from people extremely close to him.
Yeah.
In doing so, he finally made the decision to drop the bomb. And he probably saved a lot of lives of people in Japan. That's for sure.
Oh, yes. That's for sure. And you also, you know, discuss Pablo Picasso and Mahatma Gandhi. My goodness. And that's in your War and Peace section, part one of the book, from these visionary leaders. What are some of the most important lessons you think that we can learn from Pablo Picasso and Gandhi?
I think the most important lessons in the book, and this holds true for all 23 people, is to make a decision based on facts. Make a decision that has good coming from it, not negatives coming from it.
Right.
And be brave and stick with your decision.
Yes.
Stick with the decision when people tend to say, I don't necessarily like that decision.
Right.
A lot of people didn't like Gandhi. A lot of people didn't think Picasso had much on the ball.
Yes.
Obviously, he did. They did. And the world was changed because of it.
Boy, is that sure. You know, and a lot of people don't like leaders or ideas or revolutionary, changes that are made. But it is amazing what these people who you talk about have done. Are there any other favorite lessons from the world visionaries that you talk about in your War and Peace group of chapters?
I think the most important lesson is how can a decision you make take you, yourself, or people around you, a large number of people, to a higher level?
Right.
A higher level of appreciation.
Right.
That is huge.
Yes.
Because the opportunity to open the doors for tens of thousands of people and give them a chance or an opportunity they didn't have before is massive.
Yes.
And some do that, many don't.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. It really does.
I mean, Hitler had very much the antithesis of that decision. And he made the wrong decisions.
Right. Yes, he sure did. And, so many people followed that, and it was horrific. In your second part of chapters on commerce and invention, you talk about the genius of Johann Gutenberg and how he changed the world. What did you find fascinating about his particular story and, some of the most profound decision-making lessons that you learned or share from his story?
Well, when Gutenberg invented movable type, he didn't really realize he had something.
Yes.
It took years after his invention for the application of movable type to turn into books and papers and theses.
Yes.
And now look at movable type today. It's huge today.
Yes.
I feel reasonably certain the people at Microsoft had the same view.
Yes.
They didn't know quite what they stumbled on. And when they did,
exactly,
it spread like wildfire. I think there's probably two or three iterations coming after this. I don't know what they are.
Yeah.
But it will have the same implications.
Sure.
As movable type and Microsoft's work.
Yes. Yes, it's so true, and I agree. In terms of commerce and invention, what are some of the lessons also that you garnered from automobile icon Henry Ford, who didn't give up? He just kept going.
Well, Ford was exceptional, and there's another man who worked at Ford, Lee Iacocca.
Oh yeah,
and Iacocca brought the Mustang along,
right?
And he was exceptional.
Exactly.
the Japanese who created Renault and the French who created their cars. Exceptional men and women.
Yes.
Maybe the most interesting person was the Italian who created those fantastic Italian cars.
Oh, yes.
They were really remarkable.
Right.
And he wasn't necessarily an assembly line person. He was a person who went for style.
Exactly.
And speed and all the rest of it. He was very, very successful.
Yes, he was. He was just amazing. And by the way, guys, in case you just tuned in here, you're on the couch here with Dr. Michelle. And, of course, my special guest is Robert Dillon Schneider. And he's the founder of an amazing company, his organization, the Dillon Schneider Group. And they bring to clients a whole level of communications, counseling, creativity, and exposure to contacts, networks, and relationships that are really not available anywhere else in the world. He's also the author of so many books. You can go onto his website. What is the best way that people can get a hold of your books and find out more about you, Robert?
Well, the best way, of course, is Amazon and Google.
Right.
But somebody who really wants to delve into it, I think can go online and get a tremendous amount of information.
Right.
It's there. I felt the need to share information over the years, and I've done that. So have I given ideas and secrets away? I don't really think so.
Yes.
I've given an opportunity for people to go the extra mile.
Well, that's for sure. Yeah, and this is, you know, you've done research, and this is historical, all this information about the critical decision that the 24 visionaries who you share had to make to change the world, basically.
Right.
You know, so
they
it's
did indeed.
Yes, they did. Some of the other visionaries are in your third group of leaders in science. And can you mention some of these individuals and what some of the most important lessons that you learned from these scientists who shaped life all
around
the world?
A man who invented penicillin, Jonas Salk.
Right?
I mean, the people who invented milk, the people who took negatives and germs out of water. Those are
yes.
remarkable people that
yes.
really did something for society.
Exactly. You talk about Louis Pasteur, Marie Curie, Rachel Carson, Alexander Fleming, and more, who really changed the course of the world and the world health. And, you know.
Imagine the world without Rachel Carson.
Yes. Oh,
what
my God.
An extraordinary end.
Yes. No, I can't. I mean, and I don't think a lot of people understand how much Rachel Carson contributed.
I completely agree.
Yeah.
But, and her name probably is going to be lost.
Mm-hmm.
Because so many people are now taking advantage of what she did.
Yes.
But it shouldn't be lost. She's a remarkable human being.
Yeah. She is amazing. So, yeah, you have a wonderful detailed story of her history and what she did and how in science she helped change how humankind regards the living world and the future of life on this earth. And she had a huge impact on the public's understanding of issues like ecology and environmental change. Still astonishes people how ahead of her time she was. I mean, she was, published back in 1950? The 1950s, I think. 1940s, right? So, I mean, this was just...
Nobody thought about the environment.
No, exactly. Exactly. So she was amazing. And again, if you all are listening to find out more about some of these visionaries, Rachel Carson, Google her name if you don't know about her, because a lot of people really don't, they don't realize it. And I appreciate you pointing her out as one of the visionary scientists in your book, Decisions, Practical Advice from 23 Men and Women Who Shaped the World, you know, including, of course, the... I love this category of breaking boundaries, because, I mean, how can you go wrong with John Kennedy, Julius Caesar? I mean, the information and wonderful things that were passed on of course, from Abraham Lincoln, Muhammad Ali, you know, Martin Luther. Some of these people and the history and the content that you talk about in the fourth group of these brilliant visionaries is just amazing. Who among these individuals do you think is or are some of the most influential people in changing the course of our world in breaking boundaries?
I think two you just mentioned, Jack Kennedy, might not have been a great president, but he took us up to the top of the hill.
Yes.
And showed us what was possible.
Yes.
He put a spirit in the American people.
Yes.
They didn't have before.
Yes.
Jack Kennedy, definitely number one.
Yes.
Muhammad Ali. What a statement for black men.
Oh, my God.
Nobody really had the courage until Muhammad Ali stepped up.
Yes.
And he did. And he didn't go to service.
Yes.
What a remarkable man.
He really was. He was just amazing. So those are the
I
two.
Had the
yeah. Go right
I
ahead.
I had the opportunity to work closer with Muhammad Ali.
Really?
Before when he was Cassius Clay.
What were you doing at that
Ali
time?
Ali was a very quiet man.
Really?
But he knew what sold.
Yes.
That's what made it good.
That's amazing. So you did. What did you do when you were working alongside him?
Now, one of the things I tried to do was stay out of the ring, because he was devastated
yes.
to his opponents.
Yes.
But I tried to give him ideas on how to present himself, and
yes.
He was good in that regard. I used to write one-liners for him. He had plenty of one-liners.
Yeah, really?
And he had more because of me.
That's amazing. Well, he was clever, and I loved his poetry, and I love the way he used his phrases. So if you were contributing to those, you really were an influencer back then as well. That's amazing. Did you have a chance to ever mingle or meet John Kennedy at all?
I knew John Kennedy. I knew many of John Kennedy's people.
Yes.
And I will tell you this. John Kennedy used to have a position. Don't get angry at somebody. Get even.
Mm-hmm.
And John Kennedy practiced that. He was his father's son.
Yes.
And he made a big difference.
Yes.
And old Kennedy mm-hmm. wanted to have his sons run the country.
Yes.
And fundamentally, for a while, they did.
Yes,
and,
they sure
they
did.
They made a big difference in the country. They took us all up to the top of the mountain.
Yes,
good luck
they
for
did.
Boston.
Yeah.
I'll say that.
I agree. It's, you know, I'm just impressed that he had a chance to work with and know a lot of these world visionary leaders and the boundary breakers as well. So we're going to be wrapping up in just a little bit, but I wanted to ask you, what are some of the most important lessons, maybe words of wisdom that you would like to share yourself with listeners that might help shape their lives that were based on many of the philosophies and guidance from these world visionaries you talk about?
Don't be afraid to take a chance.
Mm.
Don't be afraid to get off the diving board.
Yes.
Oftentimes, the water isn't cold, and it isn't deep.
Right.
And it's very pleasant when you do it.
Yes.
So don't be afraid to do that.
Yes.
Look for friends around you.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of people who will agree with you. They're unwilling to take the first step. But if you take the first one, they'll follow.
Mm-hmm.
Always back up what you're going to say with fact and information. Make sure that when somebody chooses to attack you, you've got to, because they will, make sure you've got the facts and information
yes.
to support yourself. Those, I think, are the basics.
Those are great. Well, what great advice. Now, how can listeners find out more about you and your company, and how can they get your latest book, by the way, we've just been talking about here on the couch, Decisions, Practical Advice from 23 Men and Women Who Shaped the World, as well as get
well,
your books.
The book is now in second printing, and most bookstores have it. Amazon is now backed up on shipping until early February.
Oh, that's amazing.
So it's all a good start.
That's wonderful. And also, of course, at dylanschneider.com, www.dylanschneider.com, schneider.com. They can find out also how to get your book as well. And that's spelled Robert, of course, as it should be, D-I-L-E-N-S-C-H-N-E-I-D-E-R, folks.com. Check it out. The book is called Decisions, Practical Advice from 23 Men and Women Who Shape the World. Wonderful research that you've done, and I thank you so much for sharing this book with everybody. And I know why it's back ordered. it's an excellent book.
Thanks so much. Your listeners are fortunate.
Oh, thank you so much, Robert. It's lovely to talk with you, and I appreciate all your wisdom.
Thank you.
Bye bye now.
Thank you.
Uh huh. All right, he's been there and done that, and it's amazing book, Decisions, Practical Advice from 23 Men and Women Who Shaped the World, Robert Dylan Schneider. The foreword, by the way, is written by Steve Forbes. Okay? And the afterword is written by Klaus Schwab, which is the founder and you know who he is, right? Founder and executive chairman of the World Economic Forum. I mean, how much more powerful can you get to have Steve Forbes write the foreword of your book? How much more, I mean, he's truly an influencer in our day and age. So I think that's amazing. And I love that. So, and again, it's the Dylan Schneider Group. If you're looking for a little bit more information, that's the way to go. All right. And this is Dr. Michelle, and we're on the couch. And today what I thought I would do in the second half of our show, as I mentioned to the folks who emailed me about certain questions or things that they wanted me to answer regarding relationships, regarding some personal issues. And also what I try to do is at my straighttalkdoc@gmail.com website is I try to take the most commonly asked questions and answer them so everybody can sort of benefit. Okay? So what I'm doing is right now I am going to pull up one of my favorite questions from several listeners. And the question is, how can I make my relationship work better? And they're not talking about necessarily business relationships. They're talking about personal relationships. And this is about romantic relationships. Of course, all of these things that I'm going to share with you, suggestions that I have about how to find and create a better relationship, will apply to friendships as well, and perhaps apply to, you know, your work relationships. But I think this is probably, you know, really focusing on romantic relationships, or, you know, how to begin a relationship, what to look for. This is another question that I hear every day in my practice, you know, from people who come to see me is, what should I really expect in a healthy relationship? So let's just rock it right now. Here are some of my suggestions to look for and what to expect. And this is not, you know, put on rose-colored glasses and look for the perfect partner stuff, because let's keep it real. You know, there's always, everybody has stuff. We come into relationships with realistic backgrounds. We carry our own stuff, and we bring some bring more stuff in, some bring less stuff in. But I think one of the most important things that I hear is we're always fighting, or we always have conflict. Well, my goal is to how to straighten that out, how to communicate clearly, and how to work on, you know, understanding each other's backgrounds and where you're coming from and what you're bringing into the relationship. But one of the most important things I think people need to understand is to accept conflict as normal. Okay, so in other words, don't throw away a relationship because you've hit a rough patch. All right, and there's no such thing as perfection. It only exists in Hollywood, in movies, but not even that anymore. So disagreements happen, unless you're embroiled in unfaithfulness or abuse or addictions or legal problems, things like that, violence. Get out. But accept conflict, going through a rough patch or working out particular issues, as normal. And the more you trust your partner or your to-be relationship you're going into and you're really considering someone, the more you trust and show them commitment. It really deepens as you travel through, you know, different storms and disagreements together. It really does. If you can work together on a task, as shown, as evidenced in scientific experiments, if we can work on a task together, it deepens the relationship. Another really good idea for healthier relationships is to get your act together while you're in a relationship, or please before you get into more of a serious relationship. That's how we learn who we are. When we're growing up, we're dating other people, and of course our relationships with family and all that. We try to consider normal kind of behavior. But we all, again, have different backgrounds, and there's no such thing as normal. So you have to ask yourself, am I enjoying fulfilling intimate relationships with people that I've dated or gone out with? And am I feeling healthy and vibrant? Am I living my life with purpose and meaning? What you have to do is sort of face some of these issues so you can be a happier, better person. You know, talk to a therapist or a religious counselor or just a general counselor. That would be great for you to just sort of explore who you are, because the better person you are, the better you're going to be for someone else. That's what I always say. It's important also to remember to take or give space, right? Sometimes what we have to do when we have conflict is we may choose to separate either physically or emotionally while we work on our own individual issues. And I just was talking to you about healing childhood wounds. It's kind of hard without having to be accountable to a partner to sort of get rid of those old wounds that you're hanging on to. So if your partner asks for space, give him or her the world. You know, stop stalking. If you're dating someone and they want a little space to figure out what's going on in their lives, you know, we're always peeking at Facebook and Instagram and we're always kind of, yeah, doing that. Focus on your own life. Stop obsessing about your partner's life or someone you might be dating. Or it's so easy to read into things that we, you know, get on social media. Yeah, it's basically a PR pitch. Don't stalk your partners if they need space. Please work on yourself. Okay, that's the best way to do it. Also, you know, one of my other suggestions is to kind of find the happiness within you. You know, you need to kind of learn to fly solo. Sometimes it's really great to have your own space yourself. So, some of my most successful clients, you know, I worked with them on waking up happy, no matter what their circumstances are, including a devastating breakup or something, some physical problems, or, you know, you get fired from a job, whatever it is. What we work on is trying to be grateful for what you do have and grateful for the lessons you're learning, whether they're good or bad. Okay. I also ask them to develop an I am awesome attitude. Now, what you can do is you can always, you know, go on YouTube and listen to those I am meditations. They're not, you know, really deep meditations, but, you know, you're talking to yourself. And there's a wonderful guide named Kenneth, and he does a lot of the I am. There's audios and videos. There's video attached to it as well. But it really boosts your own self-esteem if you want to listen to those, because it's really declaring who you are and the positive aspects of who you are. And the more you listen to these, it's called reinforcement. And you sort of build up your wiring in your brain to, you know, I am strong. You know, I am a kind person. I am hardworking. I am trustworthy. I am a good partner. So it really helps reinforce those things. What you also need to do when you're in a relationship or thinking about getting into a relationship is take care of your own needs, okay? You're an adult, right? So you need to call the shots. You get to do whatever you want to do in terms of your needs, all right? Do what you need to do for you. Also, in a partnership, you can also ask the other person to help you meet your needs. But they have their own needs and, you know, they have their own issues as well. So it's cool. Allow others in your life who you may be getting into a relationship or have been in a long-term relationship with to do what they want to do. And I'm not talking about cheating. I'm not talking about betraying or lying or cheating. I'm just talking about let them sort of pursue some of their interests that are healthy. And you do your thing. Focus on you and take care of you. That's really the bottom line here. Also, you have to communicate boundaries. You know what I've found in my practice that's really interesting? Is more relationships die from silence than violence. What? Really? I mean, how many times have you bitten your tongue? Or did you turn away from bad behavior? Or did you nag somebody instead of enforcing, you know, consequences? So if you acted compliant to keep the peace, what's happening here is sometimes you contribute to the inauthenticity of the relationship. So it's always important to have boundaries. And I'm not talking about aggressive boundaries. Of course, not physically. Not screaming verbally or expressing yourself inappropriately. But speak up. Learn how to be assertive. If there aren't things that you really want to do or like about something or a situation, you can say no. You know? You get to draw boundaries as to what you want in your life. And I hear this a lot from people who are worried about being cheated on, or they don't hear back from someone, or they've, you know, had sex with someone and then they haven't heard from them for a while. Just don't be a doormat. Don't allow anyone to treat you like that. Just whatever you're feeling, you get to express yourself, draw boundaries, what's good and what's not good. And then make your own life for yourself. Find people who are healthier for you. Also, I think it's really important. Something that I work on with people too is following their intuition. In other words, listening to the wisdom of our internal voice. That's really hard to do, I find, these days. Because what's going on is so much work, so much social media, so much information. So we have to kind of sometimes meditate or get quiet or have you time in order to just listen to your internal voice. And what I have found sometimes is when our relationships are in crisis, it's really natural for us to beg our friends for advice sometimes. Guys, yeah, you go out to the sports bars too. You hang with your friends and you bring up some stuff. But what happens sometimes is if we don't listen to our own gut or internal voice and really develop that, what's happening is we're getting a whole slew of different opinions from different people. I have so many clients who come in to me and say, you know, I asked my best friend what they think, or I asked my other friends what they think about this situation. Well, that's coming from their own reality based on their experiences. So that whole symphony of opinions is pretty much going to drown out the only voice that matters, which is your own. So get quiet, meditate. If you don't know how to meditate, you can learn. There are so many apps. And there's different styles. It's not just going, saying, om, and y'all know how to meditate. Get quiet. Go into nothingness. Ask the universe or whoever you pray to, maybe, to bring you guidance and wisdom. Okay? And you can ask questions about your relationships to yourself. Is it worthy of being saved? Is it in your best interest? Are you being pushed to grow? So if you get in touch with your heart, by the way, which has over 40,000 sensory neurites, which are emotional cells, that's your heart more than in your brain. Did you know that? I've said that a lot. Yeah. If you get in touch with your heart, your gut, as they say, which is very much, and also has sensory neurites, which is directly related to our emotions. Why do you think we get upset? Our stomach's upset. Why do you think we get ulcers? It's about drama and emotion and anxiety sometimes. Many times, that's what it is. This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you're on the couch with me today. And I'm talking about 10 essential secrets to making a relationship work. And we've gone through so many. And if you just tuned in, of course, you can download, replay the show after we're off the air. I'm also in iTunes podcasts, so you can go to On the Couch. That's free. And check those out. So we're moving on from listening to your internal voice, getting in touch with your intuition. And there's so many ways to do that. Google it, go on to YouTube, and there's lots of audio tapes that'll help you do that. Also, you got to be patient in relationships and also realistic about where you're going in the relationship. So many people come in to see me and they've been in a relationship for a while and they've had a push and pull because of issues going on, conflict, mistrust issues, things like that. You have to sort of determine after you're patient for a while, is it time to go? Is it time to give up? Look at your partner's actions, not the words, for clues. Has she or he committed to counseling? Are they making a commitment to change? Are they just paying you lip service? In other words, we look for the action. What are they doing in your life? You know, I really respect the people who come into my office to see me whose partners have said, can you work on these issues? Because this is where I'm just, this is a deal breaker here. You need to come into my office and see me. You know, so, I mean, I really respect those people that are going to work on themselves for their partner. And they're owning it. They're saying, you know, I screwed up because of this, or I'm not a good listener, or I'm not participating as my partner wants me to in the relationship. So I really respect that a lot. And so do most therapists. So if you go in kind of looking for answers to keep a relationship together, many times because your partner has asked you to do so, be really open and keep it real. Okay? And again, you have to look at the realism of a relationship. Is this person really working to change? And if they're not, well, I don't know what you got to do about that. It's really important. So those are 10 essential secrets to making a relationship work. Because I think relationships, you know, that's all we have. And I think they're so diluted by social media today. You know? I mean, these are the things that we're dealing with. We have to overcome our own stuff from what we learned growing up, our own messages, which are usually lower self-esteem. Okay. And also what we have to do is we have to be willing to be flexible and give others, you know, the benefit of the doubt sometimes. We have to listen better to our partners. We have to acknowledge. They call it reflection. Oh, so you're saying this to me. And so we can understand each other and learn how to communicate in a healthy way. You know, if you're yelling and screaming and name calling and playing games and being passive aggressive, doesn't work. We all have done that from time to time in our relationships, but it doesn't work. So what you've got to do is really keep it real and learn how to communicate better. Really learn how to communicate better. And you can do that by going online. And I'm not saying you need to go to necessarily a therapist. I mean, it always helps with somebody who knows communication skills and is a relationship expert. Marriage family therapists are awesome. Psychologists, we're all trained, you know, whatever our specialties are. So, you know, these are all ideas that I give you, you know, to really help yourself out in your relationships. And one of the most common things that I tell people is to really take care of yourself first. And that means working on a lot of those old messages that you got growing up that were not the healthiest about who you are. Right? So if you still have these little voices in your head, not literally, well, maybe if you have them literally, there are medications for that. Seriously. But if you do have these little, as we call them, voices saying you're not good enough, you're not intelligent enough, you're not attractive enough, you're not, your self-esteem is low, you don't present well, you don't have the looks, you don't, whatever it is, you got to get rid of that stuff. And how do you get rid of it? You have gratitude for what you've got every day when you wake up in the morning. Thank you, God. Thank you, whoever. Thank you, universe. Thank you, photons out there creating the field for giving me what I have in this life right now. Thank you for these amazing lessons, good and bad things that have happened to me. Thank you for those lessons because I'm learning from them. I'm trying to be a better person. And also, get a therapist, maybe who can help you with your own self-esteem and unresolved issues about negative messages that you bought into ever since you were young. And then it continues. If we have negative experiences in school, we get bullied, we get teased. Everybody has to experience that, even in private schools, even in parochial schools. There's always somebody who's going to tease you because they have unresolved issues themselves. So then from school, and then we go into relationships and finding who we are and what we are and our sexual orientation and what we need. And we've all been dumped. We've all been hurt. We've all been all that stuff. We go through our lives trying to navigate through negative messages and sad feelings and these hurts. And if you can work through all that stuff and just be aware of the strengths that you have and love that which you are, you'll be in a lot better shape. And as I always say, do take care of yourself first in all these different ways that I'm suggesting, and then you'll be great for others. And that's the way it works in the world. Thank you guys so much for reaching out to me on straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. Also, I appreciate it, talkshowtherapist.com. That's me, Dr. Michelle Cohen. Thanks for being on the couch today. And again, next week, we're going to have more great information about relationships to help you out and booster your self-esteem. Really, a little bit more spiritual stuff, too, we'll be talking about, which to me is truly science, not hokey pokey stuff. Thanks for listening, guys. Have a great week. Dr. Michelle out. Bye.